Well, as Chris said, a very, very warm welcome, particularly if you are here for the first time. It's great to have you with us. It's our practice to work our way through books of the Bible and through passages in their context. Today, we come to the end of Ephesians and these final words of the great Apostle Paul. I asked Chris to read them in their immediate context, but our verses today are just three verses, 18, 19, and 20, and our subject is prayer. Now, as soon as we say that, some of us here will probably no doubt feel, oh dear, we're talking about prayer, something I find incredibly difficult, and here's a sort of beat up. I hope that won't be the case today in any way. I think all of us find prayer difficult, but it is so very essential. And it's a great thing to be reminded that we depend on God as we live the Christian life. And so we're going to think about prayer for a little moment. I have vivid memories of attending many years ago before being here a very small prayer meeting very early in the morning and waking up to find that the prayer meeting still hadn't finished and two people looking at me. We do find prayer hard. We can fall asleep. I hope you won't fall asleep today as we speak on the subject. It is so very important. This letter written by Paul, which says more about spiritual reality than any other letter or book in the New Testament, also has more to say about prayer. Paul begins with prayer. He ends with this great summons to prayer and his prayer requests. And right in the middle of this letter, the beating heart of the book is a great prayer, praying for us as Christians. And as we engage with the reality of the spiritual world and our great enemy that Paul has been talking about, the devil, we need to understand the important role of prayer. And today, really, I want to begin with an implication, if I may, just to draw out an implication by considering the fact that verse 18 follows on from verse 17. I know it's an obvious thing to say, but verse 18, which begins to talk about prayer, follows straight on from verse 17. So Paul has been telling Christians in Ephesus to arm up. He's been actually talking about turning to the Bible, God's word, the truth of God's word, and to arm ourselves with that truth so that we can stand against the devil who works through lies. And he's been saying, arm up. And I think the fact that Paul immediately then turns to say, and make sure you pray, just underlines for us the fact that wielding the Bible in the Christian life, turning to God's word for strength, arming up, is in fact itself a bit of a battle. We've been told in Ephesians that we need God's strength. We're in a battle. We've told where it comes from, God's word, but even just the practice of drawing strength from God's word can be a battle, can't it, for us as Christians? Ephesians would tell us that when we wake up in the morning, when your alarm clock goes off on your phone, really we should treat it like a sort of siren, reminding us we're still in the enemy's country. And we are. The devil is real, says Paul. He's a real foe. And we should go about the day like we're soldiers in enemy country. But of course, we start the day, don't we? Like someone sort of, you barely got your shoes on and you haven't got the belt of truth on, you're sort of running about, flapping about, you don't know where your shield is, you've left your sword at work, you're completely disorganized as you head into the day. That certainly can feel like the Christian life when it comes to taking God's word seriously as the source of strength that it needs to be in our lives. And so Paul would say, having spoken about arming up, make sure you pray. Depend on God as you live the Christian life, as you seek to draw strength from his words. Do you remember in the parable of the sowers how Jesus spoke about the devil? When God's word is sown, when the seed of God's word is sown, one of the things the devil likes to do, like some sort of diabolical bird from hell, is to come and snatch away the seed of God's word. And he does that, and he wants to do that. I, every year, go into battle with the pigeons in my front garden. We've got a little patch of grass. I always try and reseed it and make it grow nice new grass. And every morning, I come out and find all the pigeons getting even fatter on my grass, and I chase them away. And the devil is like that. He does want to take away the word that is sown. Here we are listening to God's word it is one thing to listen, but we need to be aware that the devil wants us to be distracted. The devil wants us to forget what we've said. The devil wants us to not put it into practice. And so Paul would say, as you seek to gain strength from God's word and to arm up, make sure you pray. Make sure you have it as an essential part of the Christian life. Prayer and the Bible always go together. There's a little ditty that goes like this. Read the Bible at a chosen time each day. Read the Bible while you may. Do not start until you pray. Ask, what does this passage say? Look for him who is the way. Find a lesson for today. Pray once more and go your way. Pray and pray as you read the Bible. This is the great encouragement from the Apostle Paul. And we need to be reminded of that, don't we? It's an obvious thing to say, but it is a battle. Even arming up for the battle, as we turn to the Bible, we need to pray. But what Paul goes on to say then is, get down on your knees every day through the Christian life and wage war on your knees. It is kneeling that we triumph. And so Paul is emphatic about this, isn't he? In our passage, the main imperative is to pray. And he's emphatic by repeating over and over again this word all in verse 18. We get all times to begin with. And on Paul goes, all. He's saying in emphatic terms, make sure you comprehensively pray. So let's just begin with what Paul says there in verse 18, praying at all times. It's worth saying praying in the Spirit, I think, is praying biblically. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. And as the Spirit controls us in our prayer life, we are praying in the Spirit. As we pray in line with what the Spirit has revealed, we are praying in the Spirit, I would suggest. But we are to pray in the Spirit at all times, verse 18. It is crazy that I stay away from God and fail to pray as much as I do. When I sit back and reflect on that, it is just so silly, isn't it? God has set up an account in our names, and we can go and apply for help and for strength whenever we need it, whenever we want it. Always there, available, and yet it's very easy to keep away. And Paul would say, don't do that. At all times, come to God in prayer and ask. And I think what Paul is saying is, you know, we have public prayer meetings. I'm sure your church has a prayer meeting, but really our public praying should be like the tip of the iceberg in our life, and underneath the surface of the water should be the rest of the iceberg. Our public praying should just be the tip of the iceberg. Paul would have us praying behind the scenes in private all the time. And it's a hard thing to do, but it's good to learn throughout the day to commit what you're doing to the Lord in prayer. It's a wonderful thing when something comes up. You hear something and you think, oh, that could be a problem. Well, just pray about it very quickly and very briefly, praying at all times. It's good to pray at stated times, planned times of prayer. I find that if you don't do it in the morning as you plan to do, it's hard to find other times of day. It's good to have stated times, but it's also good to pray all the time as you go throughout your day. And Paul says, verse 18, all prayer. So he begins by saying in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. And then he says, with all prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is asking God for things. It's the sort of please prayer. But before he talks about supplication, he mentions all prayer. And Paul is a model of praying in a comprehensive way. He begins our letter with a prayer of praise, adoring God for who he is, for what he's like. As you read chapter 1, we won't go back there now, but you should do so when you go home, maybe turn it into a prayer for yourself in the morning. It feels like Paul is writing Ephesians in chapter 1 on a sort of sun-kissed terrace in some Roman villa somewhere, you know, on holiday. He's so happy, but he's actually in prison. But he's learned to praise God for who he is, and he's learned to thank God for what he's done. Praise, thanksgiving, these are what Paul means by all prayer. it would include confessing our sins as well and saying sorry. The devil loves to keep us away from the cross. He loves to keep us away from God. And as we confess our sins, that's how we come back to the cross. That's how we keep up a close relationship with God. We own our sin, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for our sin to be dealt with, and so with confidence we come to God. So all prayer. But Paul does particularly want us to pray prayers of supplication, and we'll come to that in a minute. But notice what Paul goes on to say in verse 18. He also talks about praying with all perseverance. You see that all there towards the end of verse 18, all perseverance. So I mentioned the temptation to sometimes fall asleep. I don't know if that's yours. But we know that the disciples themselves, when Jesus said, could you pray for me the night before he's due to be crucified? And they couldn't stay awake. Praying is hard work. There is an extent to which we are laboring in prayer. Soldiers, when they fall asleep, when they shouldn't, and they're woken up by their sergeant major, say they're inspecting the back of their eyelids, you know, and they weren't really asleep. You know, we are not to do that. We're to be alert, says the New Testament. We're to be awake, and we're to persevere in prayer. And it can be demanding. And it might mean that we need to organize our life around the priority of prayer, having both the time and the focus and the energy and the capacity to be praying people who don't give up. But if you think, you know, well, I'm hearing this and my prayer life, quite frankly, has fallen off a cliff. Can't remember the last time I had a list of names that I looked at, or the last time I really confessed my sins to God, or whatever it might be, I think Paul would say, well, okay, say sorry, and now start again. Persevering. Persevering really is just failing and then getting yourself back up and starting again, isn't it? That's the Christian life. So if you feel that you've failed of late, well, just get going again. That's fine. Just get going again. If you've never begun personally to pray, speaking to someone yesterday who just, it's all quite new to him, I think beginning to understand that the cross really has made a way to God for him, but the implication is that I can therefore talk to God personally. If you've never begun to do that, well, why not begin today? And don't give up. Keep praying. Perseverance, said one. Perseverance conquers every difficult by its dogged determination. Some of you will know Roger Carswell, who sometimes comes and does mission weeks for us. He talks of his quiet time, his prayer life, as a daily dogged delight. There's a delight in it, but it's also something, it's a habit we form, and we doggedly keep going at it, keep pegging away in prayer, says Paul. He that won't be beaten cannot be beaten. Don't be beaten, just keep going. I really hope, you know, the best way to keep people away from a meeting is to tell them it's a prayer meeting. I hope you will be the exception to the rule when it comes to that experience. Just be the person that does go to the prayer meeting. Be the person that puts it as their priority and don't give up. But Paul, the final all, which Paul mentions there, is all the saints. We look at verse 18, end of verse 18 with me, making supplication, so please prayers, for all the saints. We are to pray for other people. It is obvious to say that no soldier entering the battlefield prays for himself alone. He prays for his fellow soldiers. And as Christians, we've been learning in Ephesians that we need each other. The strength Paul describes in Ephesians is a collective strength. On our own, we are weak. There's no two ways about it. If you're trying to live the Christian life as a lone ranger, you will be weak. You're not designed for it. You can't stand on your own. We need each other. Strength in Ephesians is collective, and that would apply to prayer. Paul would imagine a sort of invisible network connecting each and every one of us by prayer. You praying for me, me praying for you, and as it goes. Which is why knowing each other is quite useful, isn't it, as Christians in the city? It's why the partnership groups are such a useful thing as you sort of pray for one another's colleagues and for each other's needs in ministry. Praying for one another. And Paul is such a wonderful example of this because he ends by giving them prayer requests to pray for him. The great apostle is humble enough to say, I really would value your prayers. I need you to pray that I won't be a coward in my office. Well, he doesn't say that, does he? It's even scarier for him, but you get the idea. So ask for prayer and pray for others who ask for prayer. Can I just say, you know, if you have opportunity in other settings where you're involved in ministry, where you're serving in a home church, whatever it is, if people ask you how they can be praying for you, do ask them to pray for your ministry in the office. Ask your minister to pray for your ministry in the office. Name some of the colleagues you're praying for by name to others in your home setting. We don't operate in isolation here in the city. And Paul was a great model of asking people to pray for him. Would you look at verse 19 with me? Also for me, he says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So here is his prayer request. And Paul is saying, I'm in prison, he's in chains, and twice he's asking for boldness. That's the opposite of cowardice, it's courage. It's being bold for the Lord Jesus by speaking about the Lord Jesus. That's what the mystery of the gospel is. And Paul anticipates that he has opportunity to do that, but it's going to take courage. He's going to need strength to stand firm. And so he asks people to pray for him. We need the prayers of other people. It's worth saying that standing firm is not being a coward when it comes to the gospel. That's what Paul would say about his own standing firm, being bold, being courageous, and how we need the strength of God, and therefore how we need the prayers of other people. If the apostle needed our prayer, the Christians' prayers, so do we. But I want to end with an encouragement as we just consider this prayer request of Paul's. Because I think as you reflect on what is happening in this prayer request, and as you reflect on how we know the story sort of ended for Paul, we can gain great encouragement and be certain that God does give strength as we depend on him in prayer. So here's Paul. He's in prison. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he knows he's going to go on trial. He knows that in the Roman Empire, he's a prisoner at the moment. The day is going to come when probably he'll have to stand trial, and it will be this golden opportunity to get the gospel in there. But he knows it's going to be risky. He knows that he's going to have to be courageous. No doubt he's terrified of the stories he's heard about the emperor. One of the Roman emperors, I think Nero it was, who would have been emperor at the time when Paul took the stand, once said when he was sending someone to his execution, he said to the executioners, make him feel that he's dying. It was a brutal world. And Paul was facing it. And he's asked for this strength to be courageous. Well, will the Lord give it? Well, just as we close, would you turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verse 17, where Paul is writing to the Ephesians, or the leader of the church in Ephesus, who no doubt would have read the letter out to the Ephesians. And look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Perhaps someone who finds the page first can just shout to me and I'll broadcast it. 997, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 7. So Paul says, sorry, my mistake, verse 17, he's reporting to Timothy, and he's just said that absolutely no one humanly stood by him. Look at the context, verse 16, at my first defense when he took the stand, no one came to stand by me. He's talking about other Christians. They all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. He was abandoned. People were terrified to be associated. It was terrifying to be Christian in that context. Everyone deserted Paul. But look what he says in verse 17. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. So here is Paul. He's been telling the Ephesians how to be strong in the Lord. And he said, the Bible is where you get the strength you need, but you're going to need to pray. You're going to have to depend on God and ask him to give you strength through his word. And he asked for Christians to do that for him. And the Lord, in verse 17, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in answer to their prayers, we may assume, stood by Paul and strengthened him. And what that strength looked like was the rest of verse 17 there. Through me, the message was fully proclaimed that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. He's talking about the devil. He was rescued from the devil's temptation to be a coward. He stood, he proclaimed the gospel. You see, when we ask God to give us strength through his word, he hears and he answers. If you ask God to strengthen you, to be courageous as an evangelist, he will hear that and he will answer. If you pray for other people, he will hear and he will answer. You can be guaranteed that if you open up your Bible, if you arm up with God's word, and you do it on your knees in dependence, in prayer, the Lord will hear and he will give you strength. It's been said that every great movement of God, you know, every great movement that's pushed back the forces of darkness, gone into Satan's strongholds with the gospel, every great movement of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure. If you can do nothing else, pray. Pray for the ministry of the gospel. As it goes out in the city, pray. Can't pray out loud, perhaps, as you go back to your office and do your work, but as you have a moment just of pause from your work, you can pray silently. Pray for the advance of the gospel, for the church to stand firm, courageously proclaiming God's gospel. Let's pray together. Finally, be strong in the Lord. We thank you, our Father, that you have revealed to us our very great need for this collective strength. We are in a battle. We thank you, as we've seen in former weeks, that we have a resource. We can be strengthened through the Bible. And so we pray that we would be those who do arm ourselves with truth to stand against Satan's lies. And we ask that you'd help us to do it in dependence on you, that we would pray in the Spirit for the Spirit's work through your word to strengthen us to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.